Some said they couldn't do it. Even more said they shouldn't do it. But here they are, bringing you another episode of the Happy Zen Podcast. Welcome your hosts, Adam and Matt.
Please share that story.
So we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording. My car was, I don't know if Rob's, I guess Rob's the right word. It wasn't broken into because the door was unlocked. Some kid was just going door to door at night, checking for unlocked cars, and went through mine and rifled through and took like stupid stuff like petrol points card and car wash card, which he never used, strangely, or not strangely, probably didn't have a car. Anyways, the other thing he took was a Magic the Gathering deck box, which inside had probably about 20 of our business, quote, business cards for our podcast. And I thought Adam would get a kick out of this because he opened up the Magic deck box, took all the cards out, left them in my car, took the deck box, and left. So he is not a fan of ours, I guess. But, you know, that's all right. He just got arrested.
He took an empty plastic box and took the time to take our business cards and put them back in the car.
Took all my change, too. I wasn't too happy about that.
They always get the change.
But, you know, I don't leave too much of value in the car. But didn't break anything. Didn't wreck anything. It just, I went to get into the car, and like everything from the glove box was sitting on the passenger seat. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And of course, first thing I do is blame my wife, which, you know, probably wasn't the right thing to do. But I said, you know, why'd you leave all this stuff out? She's like, what are you talking about? And then we get in the car and realize everything had been rifled through and everything in the center console was pretty much picked out. And she left her wallet in the car, no money in it. And they didn't take anything out of her wallet except, no, I don't think they took anything.
Well, it makes you really think about it being kids, probably.
Yeah. But they got caught, and I'll get my stuff back. But I didn't lose the podcast cards, so I'll hand those out.
They could have took them, at least leave them in the other cars they went through.
Yes, that's exactly what I thought. I said, you know, if they, you know, took the business cards and just left them like a trail of breadcrumbs, we'd get so many more listeners that way. They'd be like, oh, we got robbed by the Happy Zen Podcast.
That's not the advertising we need.
No. Speaking of which, you're listening to the Happy Zen Podcast. Welcome back. Episode, I don't know what we're at, 16, 17? Lost count. I've almost started the count over again post-stroke, so it's like episode 2 post-stroke, but yeah.
Like a timeline?
Yeah, it's like post-stroke, pre-stroke, post-stroke, yeah. That sounds terrible.
It'd be cool. I would almost challenge people to listen to the one before your stroke and the one after and find out what one was better.
Don't set people up for that. It'd be a bad idea. So, as per usual, we've both been busy. We kind of fell off the routine. We'll get back there. We're getting there.
It's not like we have a demanding audience. Sure. We have an audience. We know that. Yeah. The data comes through. We have an audience.
There are some people still listening, yes. Okay.
But so, what's been happening? Like,
I've got a few things on my list, and then some of the stuff you mentioned before we started recording was kind of on my list as well. First thing I wanted to talk about was, I'm guessing you've heard about the James Gunn Guardians of the Galaxy thing?
Yeah. I just saw the letter that the actors all wrote today.
I just saw that this afternoon as well. So I'm guessing you're on the side of that's ridiculous that they fired him? And
yeah, I haven't gone that in-depth with it, but what I have gathered is it seemed like a really knee-jerk reaction on the when I first saw it.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed knee-jerk. It was something from a long time ago. I don't know what it was.
Basically, it was offensive tweets, like really poor, quote, jokes, I guess. And the thing that's stupid about it is he's already apologized for it before he...
Wait. So he got let go of something he did that he already apologized for?
Yeah, these are from 2008, I think. 2008, 2009. He apologized before the first Guardians movie, before he started doing that, on record. And then there is a group of conservative-leaning people, will say, on Twitter that have been going around taking action towards those who are maybe not so much fans of the current president of the United States.
Okay.
And James Gunn is very much outwardly spoken against their president, so it seemed like he was a big target for them. Anyway, so this stuff got brought up, and then Disney, like you said, had kind of a knee-jerk reaction and got rid of him. But yeah, today, the whole cat... Now, there had been, like, I think Batista was one of their first ones, like, a couple days after it happened, said, you know, it's not right. Obviously, James Gunn's brother, Sean, not happy about it. Rooker, not happy about it. But then today, like, a joint unified letter of all the major cast members came out saying it's not right. They support him. They want him back in the movie. And not only that, they were also saying, like, if it continues, it's sort of the start of
The line,
kind of like a witch hunt kind of thing. Like, it's, you know, where does it go from here? Like, if they start going after him for stuff he's done in the past, it's going to keep going.
Yeah, given the growing political divide in this country, it's safe to say instances like this will continue, although we hope Americans from across the political spectrum can ease up on the character assassinations and stop weaponizing mob mentality. Yeah, that's a that's a good point. It just seems to be anything that they can dig. Holy crap, a million likes.
And that
was like 4 hours ago, hours ago.
You know, in the letter they say, and so did James Gunn, that they're not backing his jokes. Like, they know he was wrong and he knows he was wrong. And my argument is, like, not really an argument, I'm on the same side. I just, to take something that somebody did in the past and judge them for their entire life, I mean, I suppose there are certain instances where that makes sense, but I don't know, like, poor taste comments on Twitter, I don't know.
You know what, the way I look at it is this, and some of the athletes are taking a bit of a kick on this right now too. If you've gone back and on your social media, you said something stupid or you posted something weird, whatever, is it really a defining trait of exactly who you are as a person? Or was it just a slip in judgment on putting up something maybe that was a little risque, pushing the edge? Who knows who you're interacting with at that time, who you're following, or even, dare say, what was trendy in the public at the time? Because it could even have been trendy. So what I'm saying, and I'm not saying being mean to people or being, you know, offhand comments is always trendy, but let's be fair, sometimes there's stuff that pushes the edge that all of us sit back and take a little bit of, like, I can't believe that's a thing that people are accepting in society right now, let alone that it's popular. What I'm kind of getting at is, like, if it was something that's already had a corrective action to it, so in the case of this, like with James Gunn, he had already come out a long time ago to deal with, you know, anything that was over the edge, made apologies. It was dealt with. That's how I look at it. If it was dealt with, how can the repercussions be by people today that knew about him dealing with it then? How can they make the repercussions today? See, that doesn't seem like it's legitimate. It seems like they're just bowing down to peer pressure.
Yeah, and I mean, Disney had to have known. I mean, he was doing, like, trauma films at that time. Like, he was doing just off-color, bad-taste movies as a career. So, of course, if he's doing that and he needs to perpetuate that brand when he's on Twitter, he's... I don't want to say he's playing a character, but he has
he could be
carry that mentality out into the world if he's advertising that brand and that, you know, that kind of sleaze,
And I don't even know, was that those tweets related to the work he was doing? If it was, I'm not saying it justifies it, but I'm just saying, like, are we going deeper than the surface? Is anyone going deeper than the surface?
Well, that's it. There's no point spending much time trying to defend it, because he's not defending what he did. But the point is, he did apologize. They moved on past that. He did two movies that made billions of dollars. And then all of a sudden, this comes up again. And they're just like, well, we can't have this. I mean, you knew what you were getting when you hired him. And to judge something... Well, the other thing that makes no sense to me, if you were hired by Disney, wouldn't one of the first things you do is go back through your social media and be like, I need to make sure... Like, I would have thought Disney would have told
you. I was
just
going to say, or did Disney do it themselves? I'm surprised right there that wasn't done. Because let's be fair, with all the managers that are involved on both sides of the table, these types of people, you just assume this type of work would have been done.
Now, I don't know if it's a case of maybe it was tweets that were deleted and this person just dug them up. Because I don't know. The whole thing's bananas. For somebody who's written and directed the first two movies, for them to try to put somebody into that third movie, I think it's going to be noticeable.
Well, also, there's going to be a little bit of backlash. Let's be fair. The fans of Marvel Cinema and the Marvel Cinematic Universe are very passionate about their what's good and bad. They have no problem being vocal. It's been 10 years of an empire that's been built on these fans. And he's probably one of the more, I would say, popular... He's definitely like one of the most popular directors.
Well, people know
by name.
They know he did those movies.
I can only name a few other folks.
Name the director of Thor: The Dark World. You probably can't.
No,
but you know James Gunn did Guardians of the Galaxy.
Let's be fair. The Guardians of the Galaxy. You get James Gunn. You have the gentleman who did Thor: Ragnarok, which I already forget his name, but he was super influential, and the gentleman who did Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have the biggest... And the writers of the Captain America Civil War stuff.
Yeah. That's and maybe Favreau. Because of their early stuff.
But there's your big names. Mm. And the rest of them, and I mean, no disrespect to the rest of them, because they did fantastic work. I loved all the stuff that's been done. But they're not household names.
Well, and I don't think...
These names are up there with the actors.
You didn't... He's so closely tied to that franchise, and he's out promoting. You see his face all the time when these movies are coming out. I don't know. I don't know if Disney, if they realize what they've done is wrong, are the kind of company that would backtrack, or if that's it, no matter what. Even if they do realize it's done, they're not going to, quote, show weakness and back up. Now, I have to assume, even if the actors are against it, they're probably in pretty ironclad contracts. So I don't think they can really... boycott it, really.
Lord knows. They do belong to a Screen Actors Guild and a union. There's probably some room in there.
Yeah.
But at the end of it all, you know, I'm hoping that cooler heads prevail. Probably not going to happen. And maybe they just pause production. But I don't think to see them doing that either, because if it's too important in the timeline.
Yeah, because that was one, you know, people were saying, well, maybe they should just not do a third movie, but... That's going to be hard not to do.
There's probably a reason for it. Like, there is no Marvel film that gets done now that is done just for the sake of doing it. They're done because they have they serve as a role.
And then the other thing is, if, you know, it comes to it, who would be a good replacement? Because tonally, those movies are kind of quirky.
Straight away, the guy that did Thor Ragnarok.
That was definitely one of the ones that people were saying for sure.
It's the closest fit.
The one thing I heard was kind of a good idea. They said, well, they could maybe do a Thor Guardians crossover, and then at least you get, you know, it makes a little more sense because he did Thor.
Well, we're already jumping the gun on this one. Who knows? The Captain Marvel conversation might work out. The director behind Captain Marvel might make more sense too, because that whole Kree conversation, Nova Corps, that world crosses over more anyhow. So maybe there'll be a better fit there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not saying better fit. I mean, James Gunn was fantastic at what he did, and he took a cast of characters that... Sure, they had the celebrity power, but we've seen in plenty of movies, celebrity power doesn't mean anything. It's great, it helps, but it doesn't have that hold on deep input.
It's definitely a comic that I
read it after the movie.
Yeah, I read comics and they weren't really on my radar. They were definitely not a top tier, much in the same way that Jon Favreau made Iron Man kind of cool. Guardians of the Galaxy was not one of their top comics for now. It is absolutely,
and those 5-6 characters are now by far some of the more popular characters, period.
Mm-hmm. Probably one of the best cast movies that we've talked about it before.
Yeah, and for a lot of them, like, it helped push their celebrity status to a whole new level for the actors, so I can see them definitely.
I think that might be a little bit why they're I mean,
all of them. I mean, Chris Pratt was pretty big already, but I do think this solidified him as a number one in Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean, that and the Jurassic World together were, I think, his that big push.
But I wonder
if
Jurassic World came because of Guardians. You know what I mean? You know how all that stuff overlaps, right?
Yeah.
And Zoe Saldana is the only one I can say in there that legitimately, like, she's pretty big shit anyways.
Yeah, so she had her own franchises going.
But as for the rest of them, and Rooker, you could argue, had a bit of a cult following, but... Jesus, this was a lot of help too. Batista definitely put him on.
Must owe him like big time.
And
that's
the movies he's got coming out of this now, getting the opportunity to be more engaged as an actor, other than just like a, you know, what do they call that, the muscle or the thug piece?
Yeah, just like a bit part or just
So he gets to go a whole new direction. And I mean, there's some great stuff, and they let him have that comedic piece to it. And I'm trying to think,
which turned out amazing.
There's another movie coming out right now that is it The Fall? It's coming out for him, where he's He's an assassin, but he's got like a lot of lines in it. He's good comedic, and he's the star with I want to think of Judi Dench. Yeah, there's some pretty cool stuff coming out. Anyone listening probably have misquoted all of that, but
Fix it in post.
Anyways, no, it's he's getting opportunities, big opportunities for him, and the opportunity they gave him, because even some of the stuff he did with Guardians was ad libbed, and so let him bust some chops, right?
And as a guy that we watched in wrestling, I didn't know he was funny like that.
I didn't even have a personality.
No.
He was stiff as a board. Because
he was always like, yeah, like just a big muscle. Yeah, he didn't have...
They didn't let him have a personality.
No. So, yeah. I don't know. It's going to be a weird one. I can't think of another... I can't think of another Marvel franchise where changing the director is such a big thing.
And so this is going to segue into the thing I asked you when I got here, was that did you hear about the fact that Kevin Smith is working on some really large intellectual property and he's helping put it together? And there's been a little bit on social media about that. And it was super exciting. And I didn't read the part where it wasn't based on a comic book, but I thought, holy shit, what if they got him doing Guardians?
Well, that'd be crazy.
Yeah.
The one I thought before I read about not being a comic book was during Comic-Con, he was doing interviews on IMDb. Mm-hmm. They have the IMDb boat or whatever it's called. He was interviewing Jeff Loeb, who does all the Marvel TV stuff, and he asked him, he said, if there was a Marvel character that you could do, you know, that we haven't done yet, who would you want to do? And he said, Howard the Duck. He said, that's the only one that I feel like is close to my director sensibilities. So I thought, oh, Jesus, did he actually get the Howard the Duck gig? But yeah, he commented later after posting that it wasn't a comic book property. He said it's the largest writing gig and would have the largest budget if it got approved of anything he's ever done. My only thing, I'm thinking it's either a remake of a movie or it's based on a book. But I have no idea. I mean, and for a big budget, because he's always the one that says he can't do action. You know, so what?
But I wonder if all that stuff he's been doing with CW and, Arrow and Supergirl and all that. And I wonder if that's opening him down different pathways. And I listened to the work he does with Fat Man on Batman.
Yep.
And which is probably going down as one of my favorite podcasts that I listen to when I travel. And him and Mark, and listening to them and what they do, and what, especially what Mark does, like, what a super talented dude. But listening to them a little bit, and I'm thinking to myself going, I feel like he's grown a lot in his career, obviously. And you can see that he's grown a lot in the opportunities he's getting. And I'm thinking he's probably not that far removed now from doing something like that.
Yeah.
Because he's realizing it's not just about him. There's a whole team involved. And I think that might be an element changing the game for him.
The only, the only other movie I can think of that there was talks a long time ago of him rebooting was Fletch.
That would be cool.
That maybe could have a budget if they had like
high-end
like comedy actors, and there was some action in the Fletch movies.
I just instantly thought of Colin Hanks.
Yeah, he was originally going to do Jason Lee, but Jason Lee's kind of gone off. I don't know where.
He's a photographer now.
Really?
He does a lot of photography stuff. You follow him on Instagram. That's what he does.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Well, that'll be interesting to see what happens with that, because he seems to have a lot of writing gigs kind of on the burners and kind of doing things. He's got the Jay and Silent Bob reboot supposed to be starting filming this fall.
Mm-hmm.
He had the miniseries Hit Somebody that he wrote, and I don't think that got picked up yet. He seems, and like, yeah, the CW stuff, Flash and Supergirl. So I don't know, we'll see.
But you throw that podcast network in there that he runs.
I mean, that's a lot. Busy. He must do. I mean, this is the benefit of having somebody that edits your podcast for you. Like, he must do, I can't even, 5 podcasts a week, maybe? Maybe more? Because he does Fat Man on Batman, he does Smodcast, he does Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, he does Hollywood Babylon, he does Edumacation. That's 5 right there. There's probably more. He used to do one with his wife. I don't know if he does anymore.
Yeah, that fell off.
Yeah, well, she probably couldn't keep up the schedule. Hell, we can barely do 2 a month.
You know what? It is definitely more intense than you think.
I think once we get back in the rhythm, when we were in the rhythm, it wasn't too bad. But
when we get to reach back out to a lot of our potential guests and get them lined back up on a bit of a schedule.
Yeah, I don't know if we talked about this at all. because the one guest we were going to have, Peter from Rock Paper Cynic, he got robbed at Montreal Comic Con.
Good Lord.
Probably about a month ago. And him and a bunch of the guys in the artist alley got robbed. And it kind of knocked the wind out of his sails, and he was having some other issues with his dog and stuff. And so he's on a, I think he said he's going to take a month off. But he's also got a new book coming out that he's writing that's a little bit separate from that. So, I don't know. Like, when I read that story, I was like, God, who would go through... Like, because the artist alley at the Fan Expos is always... It's all, like, the independent people making their own stuff. And, like, you're thinking, like, who the hell would rob these people? A, I wouldn't expect these are the ones that have all the money. I would think, you know, I'll rob, I don't know, Frank Miller or somebody that, you know, an actual... You know, high Neil Adams, somebody that's there that should have boatloads of money. Rob some guy who's working out of his house, you know, like, you know, Jason Anarchy, for example. Like who would, I don't know. It seemed really scummy, but somebody did a Kickstarter thing. They raised enough money to cover everybody's losses. So thankfully that's good. And I guess they caught the guys that did it. But yeah, so that was kind of a bummer. So hopefully, I mean, I think that was beginning of July, so maybe next month he should be cleared up, so we may be able to get him back on, or get him on, I should say. Oh, I guess we talked a little bit about Kevin Smith when he was doing that stuff at Comic-Con. There was a few trailers that came out of Comic-Con that I think all three, or one, two, I don't know, there's about four or five actually half-decent trailers. Which ones did you see?
I'm trying to think what ones were there. You have to tell me what ones
you were. You saw listed. Aquaman.
Yes. And again, I think the DC Universe needs to, conversation you and I have had, their main cast needs to not have, although Henry Cavill is very, very good as Superman, and we can debate Affleck later, but at the end of it all, get rid of those two characters. Let's just focus on the ones that people don't pay as much attention to in the general pop. Let's focus on Aquaman, let's focus on Wonder Woman, let's focus on The Flash, and then also I think a lot of those other characters that you're seeing in the CW, let's focus on those, let's bring in some lesser knowns, because as soon as they tackle a property that has at least not the general population that is completely familiar with them, so i.e. take out Batman Superman, it's so good. Aquaman looked great. It looked great. It did. It looked. He is just going to be a good character. He's a good actor. It reminds me of kind of like Dave Bautista being Drax. Like, he just brought a character to life that everyone didn't have high hopes on. And they kind of like, really? And he's good at it.
The things I'll say, I'm not 100% convinced yet on the trailer, but the battle sharks look ridiculous. The movie looks like they're going full-blown, you know, there's no reality basis to this. They're going to make it.
It's DC. Like, they can't be. You're Superman.
Yeah.
If you try to work in the law of physics, it's done.
And he's supposed to have his original outfit, the yellow type shirt or whatever, that kind of outfit. So it looks better than I was expecting. The director, James Wan, is a good director. He's done a bunch of the Saw movies. I think he did maybe the Insidious movies or some of those. He's did Fast and the Furious 7. So he's had big movies to work on. It'll be interesting to see, but yeah, I'm not 100% convinced. Although I'm more convinced with Aquaman than I was about the Shazam trailer.
Oh, God.
Which strangely seems to be getting a lot of buzz. I don't know. It just looked bad to me. Did you see it?
Shazam?
Yeah.
Shazam reminds me of Masters of the Universe, 1980, whatever that was, 7, 8?
It just looks real fake.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you can really spot Toronto in it, like, because it's filmed in Toronto. Like, it doesn't, it looks, yeah, I don't know. I don't have high hopes. And I don't mind Zachary Levi. Like, some of the stuff he's been in has been okay, but I wasn't getting a whole lot of much out of that trailer.
I wasn't a big fan of the concept. I don't know the comic that well. I did a little bit of background on the comic. What worries me is how powerful of a character Shazam's supposed to be in the DC universe, and this whole crazy concept they've got where they're going to potentially have Shazam and Superman in the same. And I'm like, come on. And Black Adam. And, like, you know, I just...
Yeah, I don't think we saw much of the villain in the trailer. I don't think Black Adam's in it. I don't think he shows up until allegedly whatever the next movie is, if it does happen. I don't know. I'm getting a little bit of a Suicide Squad vibe from it. Like, it just seems cheap to me.
I feel like all of their properties like that lately. I'm sorry, just all of it is not, it's not working. I'm looking through the trailers here really quickly, just like what was posted, so I can kind of list it, what I did see versus what I didn't.
Okay.
So I did see Aquaman trailer. Shazam I did see. I didn't see the trailer for Wonder Woman 1984.
I don't think there was one. I think they had some footage there, but I don't think they released a public trailer, like a full trailer.
Okay. What about Venom?
Did they have a trailer for Venom? They might have. I saw one for Venom, and I'm still not super convinced about it.
I will go pay because I will give Tom Hardy my money to see him on screen. Mm. I'll watch him on anything. Really will. However, you know, I'm keeping the bar pretty low. Look, I don't expect a lot. I just expect better than Topher Grace.
Well, hopefully that shouldn't be.
So that's a really low bar. Like, but then, really...
The benefit that Topher Grace had was you also had Spider-Man in that movie, and there's no Spider-Man in this movie. Or
was
at least...
Was that a benefit?
Yeah.
Well, Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man?
It wasn't a great Spider-Man movie, was it?
Yeah. And then Glass...
Did you see that trailer?
No, but I'm looking forward to this.
Okay. Because... I saw this trailer, and I had no idea that the movie Split is in the same universe. And that the
that James, I did know, and I haven't seen Split.
But see, I haven't seen Split. I'm like, is that the guy from Split? Because James McAvoy's in the trailer for Glass. And he ends up being like the hired muscle for Mr. Glass, essentially. And I'm like, okay, now I gotta go back and watch Split. Like, apparently he's been laying out like the groundwork for like a shared universe I didn't even know about. So,
see, I think that's really cool. Because there's shared universes we expect to see.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel, DC,
yeah.
You know, comic properties, right? I love the idea of other movies trying to create a shared universe that they're not forcing it on us. They're just, like, laying it out slowly. Like, hey, guess what? These all happen to be in the same universe. I'm like, that to me is cool. Mm-hmm. That is really cool because you're not forcing it on me. You're revealing it to me, which is way cooler.
I mean, I was on board just as a sequel to Unbreakable. I mean, Unbreakable was arguably his best movie. I'm there for it. I can't wait for it. I think it'll be awesome. Hopefully. That was definitely one of the better trailers. Did you see the trailer for Titans, the TV show?
No.
So DC's going to start their own streaming service, like everybody is, apparently.
And the death of cable, by the way. Truly is.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
no,
it's a replacement.
I don't mean because DC's coming in. That's the least of the worries. Cable.
I actually thought when you said death of Cable, I'm like, Cable, like the character's dead.
No. See what I mean? No. What I mean is that cable television. Like, okay, I know we're segueing here for a second, but in all seriousness, where is cable television going to go to combat this shit? Because they. They're fucked.
And the best cable channels are already streaming. HBO already has their HBO Go.
Well, if you think about it, HBO was already kind of set the benchmark for where this world was going to go anyways. Mm-hmm. They're already setting up a pay channel anyway. Yeah. They just had to use cable to get into your house.
Yeah.
So now they don't need cable anymore. Where does cable fit in all this? And quite frankly, I spent the past, I say 30 days, really not digesting much of Netflix or anything. All I did was two sources of media. I listened to YouTube. Like, I watched YouTube.
Mm.
And I watched cable television. Cable's fucked. They don't stand a chance. They don't. I mean, YouTube has done things now that I didn't even recognize what they've done. I mean, I'm not even talking YouTube Red. I just mean in general how it functions, how your subscriptions work, how your feed works. I went from subscribing to, like, 7 channels to, like, 70 channels. And now... I don't really need to watch TV anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. But the only problem I see is that we're replacing one model for another.
Yeah, but we're also taking a model away that was completely, you know, controlled by, like, the 1%, and it's way more open source. It is way more. Like, some of the stuff I'm following are people like you and I who just happen to invest YouTube a couple
thing,
grand.
I agree. Yeah. I guess what my thing is, like, we're going to get stuck paying for Netflix. We're going
to pay out the rear end.
We're going to have, like, I mean, we're not saving any money.
No, but I think we're going to get better quality for what we pay for.
Hopefully.
Because if I look at cable, I'm questioning what the hell I'm paying for. Other than the weather and some sports, which, quite frankly, I don't even know why I bother with that. I get more of it on my phone through social media and through streaming. I look at it and think to myself, I'm questioning what I'm paying cable for. I'm going through the channels. And then my kids, who would be traditionally the digesters of this, don't even touch the television with cable.
Yeah.
They don't have nothing to do with it.
No, we're definitely transitioning. And like I said, the channels that are going to stick around from cable will just move to a streaming service like HBO.
Yeah.
Now, I would argue it doesn't necessarily mean quality, because I've seen a lot of really crappy Netflix original movies that are on there that aren't great just because they're trying to pad out their content.
Yeah.
But what were the hell? So DC is going to do their own streaming thing, much like Disney is going to do their own and all that. And so they're releasing some of their new shows, and they're going to have all the back catalog of all their live action stuff and their cartoons. One of the new ones they're doing is called Titans, which is Teen Titans, essentially.
Oh.
But live action.
Live action?
Yeah.
I know there's a big hype about the cartoon coming out.
Yeah, that movie actually looks pretty good. That Teen Titans Go to the Movies. I saw the trailer and it was pretty funny. This is a live action show where Robin is essentially the lead. It's like a dark, gritty kind of thing. The thing that comes out of this trailer that is kind of ridiculous is there's a scene where Robin is beating up the bad guys, and the bad guys are like, "Where's Batman?" And Robin's response, I kid you not, is, "Fuck Batman." So they've basically made Robin Batman in this show. I don't know the Teen Titans enough to identify the other characters that were in the trailer. Robin's the main one, obviously. But they're really going for like this edgy kind of... I think maybe they're looking at it like they're Netflix's Daredevil kind of thing. Like, I think they're trying to go for a gritty live-action thing. I don't know. It looks okay. It's quite bloody, quite violent from the trailer that I could see. So, I don't know. We'll see. But I don't think I'm going to pay $5 or whatever it is for a DC streaming service. Like, only DC? You'd have to have a lot of good content, and I can't think that they have a ton. Not yet, anyways.
Oh my god, the trailer's running while you're talking to me, and I would look at this as a CW property.
That it's like that, but I think a little bit more, because the language and, like I said, yeah, there's more blood and that kind of stuff.
I'm seeing the gore in the trailer.
But you're right. It does look... It's probably filmed in Vancouver, like the rest of them. So.
It's a shame that they feel the need that this is where they have to go.
And you know what will happen is...
Because if there's any group of characters that I wouldn't want to do this with, it would be the Teen Titans, actually.
Well, you would think that would be your... family-friendly, or...
That's your entry point for kids.
Yeah.
Like, my kids actually are not DC fans. They like Titans.
Yeah.
And
your animated program is popular enough to have a movie.
It's really good. And it's done well.
So like, then you do that. I don't know.
I like DC doing the one thing that was a little bit different, where their edgy stuff was actually animated.
Yeah.
I kind of liked that, because they were good at it.
It's the one thing DC... Their animated stuff is usually quite well, and it, arguably better than the Marvel animated stuff when you look at the movie side of things. There's not a lot of Marvel animated movies. No. A lot of Marvel TV shows that are okay, but the DC, the Batman ones, the Justice League, all that stuff, very comic accurate and, yeah, like you said, adult-oriented. Like, they did the Killing Joke.
Yeah.
Like, that's not for
kids. No, I love it. And even the stuff that you see on Netflix right now that has been pretty heavy on there, the Justice League stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. I mean, I've put it on. I've put that on. I'm not... I mean, it's pretty... I've made it pretty clear on this podcast. I'm not the world's biggest fan of DC.
Yeah.
So, and I've enjoyed it. It's a shame. Actually, I'm kind of slightly disappointed in watching that. So...
Yeah, it didn't make me want to sign up for it. The other trailer that I was going to point out from Comic-Con was the Godzilla King of the Monsters.
I was going to say, was that there? Because I saw that trailer.
And I was quite impressed. There's
a story behind this.
Yeah, like, because you would have just assumed, like, I don't know, the monsters just show up, like they always did.
Yeah, there's a reason.
But this one,
they need the monsters to save the planet? Kind of neat.
They look good from what I could see.
Listen, if they don't look good, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, what do you want out of this movie, though? I mean, really, it's just a monster fight. I mean, they can't really... Well, they can't.
I was watching the second Pacific Rim on a plane, and I was so sad that I didn't get to watch it all the way through because I was actually enjoying it.
I watched it. Did you see the first one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The only problem I have... Like, it's not bad. I just think, compared to the first one, I think the first one was so much better. I don't know if that's...
But were you setting the bar for improvement?
I was hoping it would match.
No, maintenance or a little less. It's a sequel, right?
Yeah.
Johnny Boyega, what I liked about Johnny Boyega in that movie was kind of everything Johnny Boyega did in that movie, because it was just a different character. It reminded me of the character, I'm not going to say it's close, because his performance on the block was so much better. But it was like his original breakthrough role that landed him Star Wars, where he got to be just a little more edgier. It felt a little more cartoonish because it was under that property. However, I just enjoyed seeing him do something that wasn't Star Wars right now.
Yeah.
That was kind of fun. And give a little more edge to him. And he's a fun guy. Like, I mean, legitimately, he's one of those guys in Hollywood that would make my, like, 10 or 20 list that I'd love to hang out for the day with. I think he'd actually be a lot of fun to chill out with. So, no, I liked the look of that one. Godzilla. I saw a comparison in a side-by-side chart how, like, every new Godzilla is getting bigger than the last one.
Like, physically, the height? Yeah.
Physically, he's growing.
We went back and watched the last Godzilla movie just to kind of get back in the mindset.
The Bryan Cranston one?
Yeah.
I gotta watch that. I haven't seen it in completion all the way through. I've seen bits and pieces.
And then, of course, Skull Island is part of that universe, because then the third Godzilla movie is supposed to be Godzilla versus Kong. That's where they're eventually working to.
We'll Which, see. Again, I just don't ever think is a fair fight, because if King Kong just gets in close, it really doesn't matter anymore. Godzilla doesn't have arm. Now, this Godzilla seems to have a bit more arm reach.
Yeah.
But originally, the original Tyrannosaurus Rex style Godzilla was just euchred. He didn't stand a chance against Godzilla. Yeah. I mean, against Kong. Kong gets in close, he's got him.
Yeah, if he's got the range, because he's got the fire breath or whatever. But yeah, if he gets in close, he's just done. Punch him in the face. This is probably going to take about 30 seconds. Second season of Iron Fist comes out in September. Do you care?
Oh, I thought they gave up on that. Actually, from what I'm hearing, because I haven't seen Luke Cage season 2 all the way through yet, but what I'm hearing from everyone that has seen it all the way through is that they have saved Iron Fist in the sense, not that like he was at risk and saved him. What I meant was they wrote him in and the character was able to give a better performance. And I don't always blame it on the character. I think there's a combination of everything. But he was able to give a performance tied in with the script that made Iron Fist actually pretty effing cool. Apparently, he just Iron Fist everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the whole season of Luke Cage, which, yeah, wasn't... It certainly wasn't the first season, that's for sure.
But he wasn't running around like, oh, I don't know how to use my Iron Fist. Apparently he just Iron Fist everybody. Oh, Iron Fist
himself, yeah. So,
yeah, he just Iron Fist everybody.
That one episode of Iron Fist is... It's a better representation of, I think, of him than the entire first season of the show. The other thing from the second season they're showing now, and I don't know if it's flashbacks or not, but he does have the, like, the hood, the mask.
Thank God, yes.
So we'll see if that's just a flashback thing, because they kind of did that with Luke Cage when they show him doing the
Power Man.
And they do the experiments. Yeah, he's got like the tiara kind of thing on, and he's got the wristband things. But then, you know, he never has it again. So I don't know, man.
The problem I have is I have a real love affair with Luke Cage in the sense that I just love the actor they've picked. Mm-hmm. It's so perfect, and I think the rest of the cast of Luke Cage is amazing. So even if it's on the weaker side, it just is delivered well, and so I've been enjoying it.
Again, the same problem I've had for the last couple seasons of their programs is they're just too long. I think they could easily get away with less episodes and still tell the same story. 8 to 10? I think so. I think it just drags it out way too long.
But they're really
side stories that never go anywhere just to pad out those episodes.
That's what kills me. But then, are they trying at a really, really hard ability? Are they really, really are they trying really, really hard to lay out groundwork for this big interweb, like big web across all these storylines? Are they trying too hard? Like, that's what I'm wondering. Is like, because in the movie universe, they have all these things that tie together, and it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But of course, they're working with the big toys and the big products and the big stories. But I'm wondering, in the Netflix properties, are they really trying to really grow these tough roots that will connect across these different storylines? I'm wondering if that's why there's all these, seems like these side stories that don't go anywhere that they plan on revisiting. it seems like they're trying almost too hard to replicate, possibly, the same model they did in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They're trying to do it at the Netflix level, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know what the goal is anymore, because originally the goal was to get to Defenders, and then we had Defenders, and now, you know, are we... Should we treat them as separate series? Should we still keep thinking that it's, you know, it's all... Like, when you watch the Marvel movies in most cases, and we'll talk a little bit about Ant-Man and the Wasp, you're not to a detriment of the story, but you're always looking for those connections with the other characters and progressing the overall story, which arguably is the Avengers story, and everything's contributing to those stories. But... Yeah, I mean, sometimes the TV shows, the Netflix shows, they throw characters in. It just seems like to show, like, here's some connection, but do you really need that person? Like, Foggy will show up. Does he need to be there? Nah, probably not, but I don't know. Just it seems like it's forced.
Cameos?
Yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to actually driven story.
You know, like, I guess for a long time, their Phil Coulson was... what's her name? Night Nurse.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, character. She was in every...
Claire.
...program. And even that now, I don't know, it's seeming like that's starting to fade off.
Well, she's so embedded in the Luke Cage series, I don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know. And now they're saying, like, oh, you know, the Punisher season 2 is supposed to be coming out soon, and that's supposed to be really good. Problem I had with Punisher was it was just the length of it was just too long. Now, the thing I'll like about, hopefully, this season coming up is that the villain is Jigsaw, and they have a defined villain that he has to go against for the whole season. And I think that was why the first season of Daredevil worked so well, because you had the Kingpin, and he was the, like, you knew what he was up against, and it would show both sides of their rising up. And I don't think Punisher really had that villain in the first season.
You nailed that on the head. Why Daredevil was so good is they had the protagonist and the antagonist both rising. One was somewhat established, but still on the rise to a new level. And so we got to see that happen. And everyone else has struggled either with... They spent way more time on trying to give us the backstory on who the character is, paying homage to the fact that maybe the audience doesn't know who the character is. Which is funny, because the character that you probably know the least amount, in my opinion, would probably be Luke Cage, which probably is the shortest backstory of them all. Iron Fist was an entire season.
Yeah.
And Punisher, I think, would probably be the one that, you know, the Fox has put it out there before, which actually I still think Thomas Jane did a pretty good job round one. But, you know, it's not the first, and there was an old one in the 80s done. So there is a bit of an attempt at having the Punisher out there before. So, but yet we got an entire season on his backstory. Same thing.
And for a guy that doesn't have much backstory.
No, his backstory was really done well in 15 minutes of a movie.
Yeah, you could have done one episode that went through his military stuff. Yeah. You really want to stretch it out. The second episode has the killing of his family. That's it.
Yeah. I look back to that movie done with Thomas Jane and John Travolta. I mean, in 20, 25 minutes of a ballpark, they had firmly set up his prowess, his skill and ability, and the death of his family in a really good way. And it drove the whole movie. It was really good.
I think sometimes they get caught up in this that they want to make... They're trying to give depth to their characters.
Yeah.
I think they maybe give too much depth. They got to remember what they're doing. Like, these are comic book characters. They aren't super deep in most cases.
And I sometimes wish they wouldn't try to give us a media source and say, okay, we're going to put this on Netflix. So... We know there's, you know, a million books out there, or, you know, at least five or six really good storylines that you could divulge into to catch up. But we're going to try to do it all for you, because we don't want you to pick it up. You know what? Give us enough and then make us go pick the book up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why I think I got drawn to Guardians so much more was it opened me up. I loved it. I'm like, you know what? I got to go dig more. And so I dug into Guardians, which made the second one... I actually really, truly enjoyed the second one almost more than the first, which typically is not a thing most people do.
No.
And it was because I spent time researching the characters, digging into the storylines, listening and reading and going through all that stuff. And so, like, the Ravager showing up in the second one was such a cool thing, because I had just spent all this time understanding who they were. And I'm like, so it incited research, where maybe for me with Punisher, if they had done a little more effort to it, maybe I'd give a shit to go look up Jigsaw.
Yeah, there wasn't really much.
But I don't. It didn't work.
They didn't do a whole lot. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'm sure I'll watch it. I just don't know. that I have that in. I think I still want to see this third season of Daredevil more than I want to see any of the other
ones.
To
be fair, if I look at Luke Cage and I look at Iron Fist and Jessica Jones, the only thing I firmly have established, and even Punisher at this point, that the only villain in the show is like them dealing with their inner demons. Seems to be the biggest protagonist in the show, or antagonist, whatever one it is.
Yeah.
It seems to be the bigger problem in the show is them dealing with themselves. Which is really fucking boring after a while.
I want to see Iron Fist fight a dragon. Why is that so hard for me? I mean,
I just want to see him punch people's heads off. Like,
sure.
That ability should be insane, and he should just be, like, Hadouken the shit out of it.
If he can hit Luke Cage and it hurts Luke Cage, yeah. Then if he's hitting a normal person, he's blowing holes in their chest.
Like, exactly. I want to see just, like, yeah. Just yeah. A mess. Evil Dead style mess.
Oh, yeah. Why not? So, I finally saw Ant-Man the Wasp.
Finally.
So, I suppose we can talk about that a little bit. Should we work backwards from the credit scene and just get touch on that right away? Since
sure.
Obviously, that
what'd you think of it? Because you're super critical.
Of the overall movie or just that bit?
Part one, part two. So, of the bit at the end and then of the overall movie.
So the bit, well, I suppose there's technically two credit scenes, but the mid-credit scene is the one that has any meat to it, really. I thought it was good. At least it explains where, I guess we should say spoilers if anyone's listening to this that hasn't already seen the movie. It at least gives you somewhere where Scott is during the finger snap. So, now I saw it with my brother and I said, do you think he doesn't get snapped out because he's in the quantum realm or just because he wasn't the ones to get snapped out? Because the quantum realm is still Earth, right?
Sure.
I guess. Just, like, shrunk down
so much.
So is Thanos' power all of... Does the finger snap affect everything on Earth? So then would he have been affected whether he was in there or not? So is he saved because just by random chance or because he was in there?
Well, are you going into the X Factor piece here that he was saved, like he dodged a bullet kind of idea, and all of a sudden he's going to play a significant role?
I guess, like, so Cap lives, right?
Yeah.
Finger snap, Cap lives. Why? Just, at this point, it seems random, right? Or, though, technically you could argue it's the original Avengers that are staying alive.
Yeah, and that's the theory I was playing with here, is that he's Scott dodged that bullet by being in the quantum realm.
Yeah.
So which all of a sudden he makes him... in some capacity, going to have the ability to have some sort of significance.
Now, how does he get out?
Well, listen, he got there in the first place when he wasn't supposed to be there. And all the tech said, you know, we look at the first Ant-Man, he managed to get there when he wasn't supposed to be there and get back.
Yeah.
So there's something because of his non-science capacity, which makes him push the limits on stuff he's not supposed to. So maybe he finds a way back through.
See, I was kind of going the long way with it. I was thinking in the movie... he has, like, a link to Janet Van Dyne because when he was in the quantum realm and she was there, when she gets out, she uses her, for lack of a better term, her quantum power on Ghost to kind of stabilize her.
Which was energy-driven.
Yeah, so maybe Ghost will have some sort of link to Scott. She's not really a villain, and in that segment, they're going there to get more of that stuff
for her.
So maybe she has some sort of connection mentally with him.
Well, and you look who they left behind: Ghost and Forest Whitaker.
Lawrence Fishburne. Yeah, and he's smart. Like
those two get left behind.
Yeah,
conveniently.
Yeah.
So they're the out. Right,
they're
the
that would, I
and they also know that Scott's going in to get this stuff for her.
Hopefully,
so yeah, of course they do because the way they did that time.
Otherwise, snap, somebody's going to have to stumble into a van on a roof or wherever they were.
Thing where it, so many months later, didn't they?
Yeah.
So that developed that to me instantly says there's a developed relationship. So it's known, and these two are going to come back and get him out.
And those are the only two characters that I would argue in the Marvel universe so far would have the ability to do it, because as smart as Banner is and Stark is, that's not their thing. They're not.
Well, they haven't been playing with it.
Or, yeah, I should say, they I wouldn't suspect, I wouldn't expect them to be the ones that could figure out how to get him out.
And listen, if Hank Pym spent his whole life on this, I'd be very disappointed if all of a sudden Iron Man and Bruce Banner in 5 minutes can pick this shit up. Yeah. Don't do that to me. Yeah. At least give me a little bit of respect that the guy who did it his entire career with Hank Pym is the guy it's going to take to do it. Please. Please do that. Because then you're telling me Tony Stark could have made a fucking Ant-Man suit for something to do on a weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes they do come up against that wall where you're like, Tony Stark can kind of do almost everything, and you got to give him a little leeway there. As for the movie overall, I thought it was good.
It was fun.
I would have liked... I think Paul Rudd absolutely makes that movie.
Yeah.
I can't imagine anybody else in that role making that movie as entertaining as it was.
Oh, and the dude that heads up his the security firm there.
Oh yeah, what's his name? Lewis in the movie. Yeah. Is that his name? Yeah, yeah.
He's such a good actor. I've seen him in a lot of different.
Michael Peña.
Yeah, I've seen him in a lot of different things because he can do a lot of.
He's done a lot of serious stuff.
His range is huge.
Yeah.
He's so fun in that movie. My kids and I absolutely just enjoyed him. So fun.
The only knock I had was I would have liked. There wasn't really a definitive villain like the. Villains, quote-unquote, in the movie aren't really bad, per se, except for the business guy. He's sort of, a bad guy, but...
You know what? I wish they would have gave us a little more on that guy, because he was definitely linked to something bigger, and I wish they would have gave us more of that. It's too much surface.
It was almost like they said, well, we've got Ghost, and we've got the guy that did the Goliath project, Lawrence Fishburne, but since they're not really... full-fledged.
They're going to be evil. Heroes later.
We've got to have a third guy that is straight evil.
Yeah.
And it was a little crowded that way. I don't think it needed to be quite that. It would have been nice if Ghost was just, it was just bad. At least up to the end. Like, they kind of gave it away. Right off the beginning, they made her sympathetic, and you're just like, okay, well...
But there was no... You wouldn't have had... Most of the action in that movie wouldn't have existed if it wasn't this continual hunting for the building box.
Yeah.
If you didn't have that element of that building being chased for, it desired, you wouldn't, you it by three parties.
It'd be nice, though, that, like, the guy, the, his name's escaping, but the tycoon, the business guy, just kind of wants it to have it for, because it's powerful. Like, there's no... I don't know, the drive is just greed, really, I guess, with him.
Yeah, a lot of villains are, though.
Yeah, I suppose. Again, that's my only knock against it. Like you said, it was fun. Going into that movie, you have to expect it's going to be a smaller story. Not, pun intended. but it's not, it's closer to like a Netflix character in the sense that it's their own story. It's not affecting the rest of the world. It's just this small little... caper type thing, much like the first Ant-Man movie was. So for that, continue to do that. I thought it was fine. I thought Michael Douglas got a lot more lines in this movie, and I thought he was quite good. I had heard this complaint that the Wasp was barely in it, and I don't know where they got that from, because I thought she was had quite a large part in the movie.
My only criticism of the movie actually is the Wasp.
Oh?
Yeah. She was, as the Wasp, she was good. They didn't give Evangeline Lilly, I think, much to work with. Or if they did, they just cut it out in post-production. In the first movie, she and her chemistry relationship with Scott and how that went was done very, very well. It was done well. It was a developing relationship. It was kind of a thing. And I understand that there was, it didn't go well because he screwed everything up with going over to help Cap and all that stuff. Yeah,
the Civil War stuff.
And I get all that. But it made her, they made her so, just so rigid to be mad at him the way she was, made her character so one-dimensional, it was really boring. And if it wasn't for Michael Douglas having all those lines, they really kind of would have sucked on screen. It was almost developing more chemistry between Hank Pym and Scott than it was the Wasp and Scott. It wasn't until the end, with a few of those little funny jokes from Michael Douglas... Did you really start to get a bit of a relationship back with them? And then it didn't go anywhere. I mean, I'm not saying a Marvel needs to have all this romance, but if you read the comics, there's an element of love and romance in those stories that also drive to passion and tragedy sometimes that are pretty important. Ant-Man at its core is a family man. So it's really important that we firmly establish and you sell it to us that element of family with Ant-Man. If we don't get it, then we're losing a really big dimension of what drives him.
I think you could argue they maybe... they just changed... So, in the first movie, there was that chemistry between him and Hope. But I think in this movie, they kind of said, Hope and her dad are focused on getting their mom and reuniting their family. Scott, in this movie, maybe... and not a lot, but is working more with his daughter, and he's bended the fences with his ex-wife and all that kind of thing, because they show that a lot. Like, and his ex-wife and the new husband are really close. So I think maybe they just changed it. Instead of Scott trying to be part of the
Pims?
Pims and the Van Dynes, whatever. It was more about him looking after his own thing. They were looking after their own thing. But then it does separate it, because then why is Scott even involved? And kind of that's the plot, is he's not supposed to be there. He's supposed to be back at the house. For a lot of that movie, he keeps saying, I shouldn't be here. I got to be home.
What was it, episode of Clerks?
And yeah, and they're basically saying, you know, we'll have you home by noon, and that's it. So it makes you wonder, like, if that situation hadn't happened, would he never just never have seen them again? Like, is that the where they're going with that? I don't know. Well, the best part, I thought, with him and Hope was the banter, and they showed it in the trailer. It was just about how, like, she says, like, if I had been with you at the airport in Germany for Civil War, like, you would never have got caught. Like, that kind of back and forth, I think, would have been nicer more throughout the movie. But like you said, she was very cold to him for at least the first half, maybe three quarters of that movie.
Yeah, they didn't thaw that out with her and him until well past the big chase scene and all that, near the climax. And that was a shame, because they actually, when they're not having them that way on screen, they've got a pretty decent chemistry. And the Ant-Man and the Wasp do have strong chemistry, become a significant piece of the Avengers, and their chemistry is part of the backbone of that community family feel of the Avengers. So it's really important.
It's kind of too bad that now, I mean, depending on where things fall, she's not really going to be much part of Infinity, or whatever the hell Avengers 4 is, because...
No, but I think Hope and I think Scott are going to be significant
in the next phase. Yeah.
I think they're going to be the science take as help balance out the science tech element for the Tony Stark, who's going to disappear a little bit. We get the new gen. I think we're getting the new gen Iron Girl, Iron Man. I think we're going to go down that road. I think it's a great idea. Stark's got to turn into the AI, so we get to keep Robert Downey Jr.'s voice.
I mean, that would be perfect. Such,
if they don't do that, they're just stupid. It's so easy. Yep. And I don't know where the Hulk ends up in all this. That'll be interesting. Because I think what's going to happen is we might end up with the Hulk and less Banner, and because we're going to get the Pym and Scott Lang and Evangeline Lilly piece, and then we're going to have the Stark as the Jarvis piece. There's our science tech pieces. Yeah, and I don't think we need Banner as that science guy anymore. And if you need him as the Hulk.
Financially at it, where Mark Ruffalo becomes expensive, if he's only voicing parts of it and not actually showing up in the movie or very little, that answers also, that problem, right?
The age factor.
Yeah.
You have now made the Hulk ageless.
Yeah.
Because it's CG.
We know Black Widow is supposed to be having a solo movie, so she'll probably stick around for, in theory, a little bit longer. Winter Soldier, likely, probably sticking around for a while. Falcon, probably. But we know...
That Cap story is going to be interesting
where
that
goes. Yeah, we know Steve Rogers is likely gone in some form or the other. Up. Tony will be gone.
It'll be great, though. They just pull another awesome screw job on us, and Chris Evans is in contract. We don't know it. And they do all this. They kill Tony, and they let Cap live, and everyone's just like, wow, we didn't see this coming.
Or they could just, you know, say, look, why don't you take off the next two movies and come back as like an older Steve Rogers back from the dead or whatever. Like, give him a break. He can do whatever he wants, but come back later on. Because, again...
No, that's what I don't. I want them to do that with Hemsworth and Thor. I want them to let Thor go for a few movies and come back as old man Thor.
They're definitely not doing the Jane Foster Thor, because I don't think we're obviously Jane Foster again, but...
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I would like to see Chris Hemsworth.
Why do we always end up back to this, like, what's going to happen in Avengers movies? God damn it. Every time.
That's what they've done to us.
They have.
They have programmed us.
Well, the nice thing is it's next year. It's not like 3 years away or 2 years away.
You know, and we call it next year, but it's like 9 months.
Yeah. Because we've got, what, Captain Marvel? And then that.
Which, remarkably, I wasn't that surprised, like, anticipating Captain Marvel, but I think as I get closer, I'm going to be anticipating it. Probably because I'm going to be suffering what I think is now coined as Marvel withdrawal. That I haven't had a new Marvel product to digest in a, you know, few months, and so I need to get to the theater to see a Marvel product.
If only they could do the same thing with their Star Wars franchises.
Hey, that deal and everything has been officially finalized now, and it's in the last stages of for Disney and Fox. It's in the final stages now. So that could be done very, very soon. Oh, on another tangent, did you see the trailer for The Predator?
Did I? Yes, I did.
Just when I didn't think where it would go, and I really didn't think it would go here, I actually like where it went.
I think he's just fighting a larger predator?
Yep, just a bigger, angrier, on steroid predator.
Which, meh, but did he need any depth to that? I don't think so.
Nope. Apparently, the concept behind it, which I couldn't gather from the trailer, I actually had to go read this, because the trailer I couldn't gather what the hell was going on, other than the usual, oh, predator,
Earth, kill people, yeah.
Military guys, try to catch him, not successful. Holy crap, giant predator, where did that come from? Yeah. And that was pretty much the trailer. Yeah. But now, what I'm gathering is that the predator has come to Earth once again, because apparently this is the only planet they haven't succeeded at. And as things start to go pear-shaped, because this giant predator apparently just is rocking around, he turns around and kind of basically buddies up with the humans like, hey, I'm fucked. Can you give me a hand? Because that thing's coming, and I need a hand. And all of a sudden, they like... this is might forge a relationship between the predators and humans, which sucks because there should be no relationship.
Well,
other than,
I mean, you know what's going to happen? He's going to team up with the humans. They're going to defeat the super predator, and then he's just going to turn on the humans.
Well, fucking better.
Or the humans will turn on him.
I can see that happening too. Either way.
Yeah, and as far as I know, it takes place in the same, essentially the same timeline as the other predator. I don't know about Alien versus Predator, but as in the Predator,
there's a movie marathon that I don't ever want to try to do.
Yeah.
It's Predator. I think your brain will like totally end up fucked left to right. Because if you were to try to watch from Schwarzenegger Predator through, including like the Predator versus Alien timelines, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Because I think someone could, maybe this is a mission we should have. We should watch them, try to timeline it in a flowchart on what this thing looks like. And does it actually make sense?
I don't know if the Alien versus Predator ones take place in the same, because I think the Robert Rodriguez Predators, plural, I think that is in the future. Like, I think that's further, because it's on another planet, it's kind of more spacey.
It doesn't have to be on another planet, they just picked the people up and took them there. For all we know, it could have been a week after Schwarzenegger's.
God damn it.
I know! This movie, its franchise, is incredibly, has anyone actually, or is it like, instead of a timeline, it's just a circle that's slowly, slowly making its way into a center? Like a toilet?
Do we see Arnold in this movie?
He's in pretty good shape right now.
Just like a cameo or something?
Hey, Creed 2.
Yeah.
Some talk conversation trailers. Yeah. Did you see the trailer for Creed 2?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I saw it in the theater.
As a Rocky fan.
For Jurassic World. And I was watching that trailer. And I'd already seen it. I was just being a jerk. And I said, just watch. And my wife's like, watch. She's like, watch. You'll see it. And of course, he turns around and he's got the name on the back.
Drago.
Like, yes! It's so, like, I shouldn't be cheering for that because it seems really lazy to just mirror. But
I think it's perfect.
I think for fun, it's going to be very fun. I think it's going to be good.
I think if you're going to go and talk intellectual property or talk storyline, it's the only way they could have done Creed 2. It's because he took the best fighter on in the world. He had Rocky help him. He did that whole storyline. It's done. You can't redo that storyline. At least Rocky 2 made sense because Rocky lost.
Mm-hmm.
So it made sense why he had to fight Apollo. But then you get into Rocky 3, was Apollo had retired. Rock's the champ, the aging champ. In comes the young crazy bugger. His manager dies. That made sense. 4 makes sense because it was all about Apollo and it was revenge on Apollo. 5 should never be made. So we back up. Series ends at 4. That made sense. So if I timeline...
So does Rocky die in this movie?
No.
Think he dies if they do another one? He's gotta die, right? He has to. He should have died. To be fair, he should have died in Creed. They built it up and then he just kind of recovered and he was like, Okay.
He's like, I'm fucking Sylvester Stallone. I know. I look like I could kick the kid's ass. How the hell do you make me die?
I mean, look, I enjoyed him in Creed. I thought he was really good. He had definitely some of the more emotional lines and situations. It's definitely... That character arc has no breaks in it. Like, he is the custodian of that character. He knows exactly what's happening.
I honestly just feel like Rocky is him.
Yeah, it feels like that.
Yeah.
But I do think at some point he's got to die. Whether it's a motivation thing for...
Harrison Ford won't die in Indiana Jones, although we need him to.
And yet he died in Star Wars, and we probably could have kept him around.
Yep. Yeah, we could have kept him in Star Wars a million times over. Indiana Jones, they're making another one.
He was older than Sean Connery was in Last Crusade, in the last Indiana Jones movie he did.
They have agreed to do another Indiana Jones, and Harrison Ford has signed on for it.
Is it just CG? Like,
it's in an old age home.
Fair enough. I don't know.
It's the worst concept. I mean, you know
what? Needs to stop.
And this is, I heard this, I can't remember who I was listening to, but this was a really, really smart thing, and I can't help but agree with it. And I'm pretty sure it was Mark over on Fat Man on Batman. He commented how Indiana Jones could be a timeless character, as in stop having the same person play it.
Like James Bond.
And he compared it to Bond,
yeah.
King Arthur,
I agree.
Batman, go on. Like, yeah. They've all had different actors.
Instead of jumping time, just based on the age,
someone
be like James Bond, where it's just whatever the current time is,
and to
or
be
whatever.
Fair, Indiana Jones is an adventure archaeologist. Like, it really could be anybody, and it could take place at any time.
Yeah.
It really could. And Bond proved that to us. When we saw, I think the Daniel Craig Bond was the greatest revelation, I think, of Bond's longevity. I'm not saying he's the greatest Bond, although personally I think he was. But what I'm saying is that it proved, it cemented the fact that the James Bond character is bigger than the actors who play it. That's so important to understand. And I think Indiana Jones has the complete capability to be that level. But we're getting gypped on it because they're forcing Harrison Ford on us. And the guy likes to keep doing his own stunts. And although Tom Cruise does that, and we all kind of have this slight hope that it goes wrong someday, we don't seem to have that hope with Harrison Ford. So, and we don't want to see him suffer by dying by whipping something, and all of a sudden it catches onto a helicopter, and he's getting dragged across a canyon.
If I see Tom Cruise and Harrison Ford side by side, I'd be like, that guy's going to die if he falls from a high place.
Yeah,
and
Tom Cruise
probably be all right.
Legitimately looks like he's going to be perfectly fine doing it.
Yeah.
And speaking of Tom Cruise... Are you willing to go watch the new Mission Impossible?
Well, my wife just got back from it, so I'll ask her how
oh,
it
really?
Was. I'll watch it. I like the last two. I don't think I'll see it in the theater, but...
I can't complain about them, because right when I got to the point where I was losing interest, they put Simon Pegg in. And I'm like, well, you did it for me, because now I'll keep going back to watch this, because I'm just like supporting him, first of all. And then you put Henry Cavill in, who I think is fantastic. I enjoy him in a lot of stuff that he does. So I'm like, well, there's enough star power for me to go that isn't Tom Cruise. Although Tom Cruise as Ethan Hunt is really good. It's a good role for him. I enjoy it. Much better than when he tried to deal with the mummy.
Oof.
Anyways, and I know there's a big thing about this helicopter scene that they've put all this time into stunt-wise. So
I mean, that's the thing with everyone now, right? You always hear about this big stunt he did. Like, what was the last one was where he's on the side of the plane, right? That was the big stunt that he did.
Yeah, just stop for a sec. He was on a fucking side of a plane that took off.
I get it.
What an idiot.
I
love it, but what an idiot.
So, yeah.
That man, like, truly believes in aliens and all that jazz with Scientology or something stupid. Because the fact that he, like, literally held on to a handhold... on the side of a plane as it took off, for the sake of... I want to know, once the plane went up, where did he go?
Just jumped off? I don't know.
We've got the shot.
Yeah.
You know how long it takes that thing to land?
Yeah, you can't land, just jump off. It's going to take too long. Yeah, I don't know. Every time I think I'm done with the series, though, I'll watch it on like Netflix, I'm like, ah, damn it, that was real good.
It is good. It is very, very good.
You know, at some point, it's going to get tired. But I don't know.
Speaking of... really, really good summer blockbusters, things we have to watch. When are we going to go see Meg?
Oof, might have to go with my wife, too, because I think she's into it. Because honestly, we saw it. There was one point in that trailer where we were watching it, and we both just burst out laughing because it's so bananas. That trailer.
This is Snakes on a Plane.
Oh yeah. Like, I've never. It must have been like a bet, like how big we could make this shark. Like, oh, that's big. I can do it 10 times bigger. Like, they just kept wanting, because there's that shot of that of the shark coming up from the water.
Yeah,
and you're just like, oh my god! Like that's, or sorry, the megalodon. I guess it's not a shark, but and then that and Jason Statham. I'm in.
I feel like the shark got bigger through the trailer as well. Actually, I was watching it. I was like, wait, did it get? I feel like it got bigger. And what I'm curious,
maybe
is,
there's more than one.
Was Jason Statham gonna kill the shark?
Oh, he's gonna punch it in the face.
I can't wait how he does it.
He's gonna punch it right in the eye.
And does he end the movie driving away in an Audi? Or is there gonna be a Rock cameo?
Some sort of like crossover movie or something?
I have no idea. Whether it's a crossover from Rampage or a crossover from The Fast and the Furious, both are ridiculous. So both could work.
It's pretty good that we're coming into August and there's still movies that they're just like,
this was a big
summer
year.
Ridiculous.
Like, this was a big year on paper. Like, hey, August 3rd, Winnie the Pooh, the Christopher Robin thing. I'm really looking forward to that, to be honest with you. And I didn't really quite grasp from the original teaser trailer, because that was a really bad teaser trailer, but it's actually a grown-up Christopher Robin.
Mm-hmm.
The teaser trailer did not identify that at all, by the way. Now that I've seen the full trailer, I'm like, oh, this is cool. And they got the same voices, and it looks good. It looks cool. I enjoyed Paddington when they did Paddington. Taking our childhood piece and bringing it to something new as a Marvel, movie cinematic universe kind of thing.
They haven't done everything.
No, feels like it. But I think Winnie the Pooh could be very, very good. I've enjoyed all the funny bits on Instagram about the two bears trying to kill each other. Yes. Winnie the Pooh and Paddington.
Paddington and Winnie the Pooh. Like fat Winnie the Pooh and like skinny Paddington. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've enjoyed that shit. But at the end of it all, I think it'll be a really enjoyable movie. I feel like there's still a lot of things to come out this year that we haven't even touched on yet.
Yeah, I mean, I've got stuff left to talk about, but I mean, we're already like, whatever. We're well through this podcast. It flew by, actually. That's pretty good. Well, I got notes for the next one. We're
back in the saddle again, man.
That's right. And you can run home now, as you ran here.
Literally, yeah.
Literally. Make sure to check Adam's social media. You can see him running a lot.
Hey, you know what? I got to keep myself accountable and on task. I've got a goal in mind. I'm very, very, very close. I haven't been at this goal since I was 19 years old. I'm very close.
Or walking. I mean, he was walking too. There's walking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not. It's like a fat shuffle, I call it. Yeah. So it's not like a real run. It's like I'm just trying to make it feel like a run.
Yeah. You can also see me attempting to do the same thing, but it's really sad. But I might do it later. Who knows? Might go for a walk.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, I guess we can remind everybody our social media. Do you remember that this time? Do you remember what it is? You got your business card with you?
I feel like you just totally set me up.
For failure?
We're on Happy Zen Podcast on Facebook, Happy Zen Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, and I think our website is www.happyzen.com.
Yeah. Perfect.
Oh, take that, motherfucker.
That's amazing. Oh,
and we're done.
Break in. Okay. See you later.
Wait. The movie poster.
Wait. What's this?
Movie poster and IMAX movie poster of The Wasp.
Oh.
And that actually is fitting with the conversation.
My wife stole this from the theater. Okay.
Stole
it.
Did you break the glass?
I stole it.
Yeah, nice. Okay.
All right. Until next time, we out.
Talk to you later.